And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, you hear the ads playing during the breaks, right? Just know this. Right Side Radio is a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. We send our show to the stations you may be listening to us on. And part of the way we support our business operations is by selling ads. So if you are at all interested in making sure that you, as a Right Side ruffian who has goods and services for the public, want to get in front of an audience filled up with thousands of Right Side ruffians, well, here we are. So if you'd like to advertise on Right Side Radio, you don't contact the station direct, you call us. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message. We will be in touch shortly. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've got an ad sales rep who is hot on it. So you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we would love to have you on the team. Rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. We'll go from there. I got several text messages I got to catch up on. So, wow. Okay, there's more than I thought there were. Let me scroll through and get a few of these. John C. from Madison. So it seems like Republicans always try and clean house, which is fine. However, Democrats still have Menendez, and I wonder why that is. That's because they don't want a clean house. They don't. They never do. I don't recall them ever wanting to, period. It's you know, what's good for thee and not for me kind of stuff. Joe from Birmingham, Saturday Night Live, said George Santos was the devil. Well, Saturday Night Live is not necessarily a legal authority, but they are. They did have quite the hoot. What did they made it out a parody of Santos himself singing on a piano like Elton John singing "Scandal in the Wind," like that.
Yeah,
they may not have much value of insight. Probably have it in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah. They lost their mojo back when, I don't know, Dan Aykroyd left or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's made myself sound old. Tracy from Athens. So if Santos goes, doesn't that mean Menendez goes too? Same question. One would think those are the rules. However, that's House and Senate. And keep in mind, who's in charge in the Senate? Democrat Schumer is in charge of the Senate. So I would suspect that Menendez is probably going to be gone, but he's not going to be gone anytime soon. And they're not going to be leaping for the opportunity. What?
So I am curious. That brings up how many Democrats on the Ethics Committee in the history of the Ethics Committee have found not guilty or whatever the determination is for a Republican. Does that make any sense?
You mean how many times have the Democrats on the committee?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they're playing politics, they're always going to be like, oh, yeah, he's guilty, because it opens up the door to get rid of him.
I cannot answer your question.
I'm curious.
You have
somebody do some research.
Open wide the doors of research that I have not yet imbibed upon. Casey from Madison says, maybe the Democrat Party should oust their whole body as a way of recognizing they waged America's Civil War to keep blacks enslaved 160 years ago. Okay. I'm pretty sure historical precedent is not what we go on, but there's that. Britt from Athens says, this is why the expanded playoff is the answer. Put all those teams on the field and settle it here. Every other division of football does it. Every other division of sport does it.
That's the way the Republicans and Democrats should solve this. Absolutely right.
Put them on the field.
Oh, he's talking about football. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, back and forth. I'm with you.
FSU, Alabama. Yeah, okay. John from Huntsville says, Phil, tell Mo Brooks there actually is an argument that could be made to put Liberty in the national championship because they beat New Mexico State 49-35 to win their conference, which is a team that Auburn lost to 31-10, which means that Alabama barely beat a team that lost to New Mexico State 31-10. John, I should have had you here to debate the congressman. Next time we'll set that up. Richard from Madison says, dang, Democrats got it good. Richard, I've heard that somewhere. David from Huntsville says, easy to be a Democrat, terrible to support the Democrat Party. Fair enough. John from Lexington, South Carolina, your old stomping grounds there,
amen.
Butters. He says, why not Congressman Jamal Bowman? That's a great question. Says he purposely pulled a fire alarm to stop a House vote, a felony. He was later found guilty of a misdemeanor. Can't believe the Democrats voted en masse to expel a gay Hispanic. And is he gay too? And so basically, anyway, call him out, man. John from Brownsboro says, so Fetterman, in an effort to speak coherently, is speaking in complete sentences and espousing a conservative agenda. Huh. I know, man. Didn't see that coming, did we? Speaking of didn't see that coming, Butters, the next section that we've got here, Dipper number two, I hold in my hands a series of stories. They may actually surprise, they may actually uprise, they may actually bemuse, and certainly might confuse. I just did that off the cuff, by the way.
I'm impressed. I'm one of those words right now. I can't choose.
I'm all of those words as I read these stories. Let me ask you this. If you were going to do a church building campaign, trying to make sure you could, you know, add on for the student youth center or the, I don't know, new Sunday school rooms, what would you anticipate would be a novel way of raising money for the church?
I'm scared.
I hold in my hands. Come on now, guess me one. What you guess me one? Guess me one.
I mean, well, just ask.
That's not novel. I do that all the time.
How novel? You're making me, you know, choose a novel idea on the spot, huh?
How about this? Putting a marijuana grow farm in the basement of the church. Whoop whoop! I point to you a local story that a friend of mine gave me last night at our church small group. WSMV.com out of Tennessee. Massive marijuana grow operation found inside a Tennessee church. Investigation slowed by possible booby traps. This is serious business.
Wow.
So how's this work? I mean, okay. It says a massive marijuana grow operation was found inside a Tennessee church after a weeks-long investigation, according to Stewart County Sheriff's Office. Hey, can you look up, see where Stewart County, Tennessee is? What's the major, is there a major municipality there? It says a search warrant was taken out against the church on Highway 46 in a town called Indian Mound by the sheriff's office. The investigation was launched a few weeks ago when neighbors of the church complained about a smell. I bet. They had to sample the product. The church was originally built as a Methodist church, but was bought and turned into a, quote, new place of worship. Whatever that means. Where's that?
It's up in the northwest corner, very northwest corner of the state of Tennessee.
Northwest, high above Memphis, that area?
Yeah.
All right, so just so you know, it used to be Methodist, but I guess part of the split says it was bought and turned into a new place of worship. I'm pretty sure they saw the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. It says the sheriff's office looked into the property's electric bill, came out to like $3,000 a month, and then found a very high water bill, but had to take longer than expected due to the possibility of booby traps. Deputies found about 2,000 plants when they raided the facility. Sheriff's office says that it just shut down the largest marijuana grow in county history in the basement of a church. I'm going to imagine they were not holding Sunday services. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I take it that growing marijuana is illegal still in the state of Tennessee.
Well, yeah. One would have to imagine the church building campaign just took a hit with the sheriff's office raiding the facilities. Just saying. Coming up next, after this break, I will ask Butters once again to chime in as to what he thinks should or should not happen with an inclusive ceremony with regards to a menorah. You know, It's Hanukkah. But it's an inclusive ceremony. Wouldn't you think they would be included? We'll talk about that when we
get back. Put on your yarmulke. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah.
We're doing How's That Work, number two on the Triple Dipper. By the way, can felons now vote in Michigan? Tell you all about it. How's that work? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. You right side ruffian.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, which is hard to believe. I'm in a section right now, Colin. How's that work? Let me ask you this question there, Butters. I know you're a Navy guy. I'm an Army guy. I was not an Academy guy. You were not an Academy guy.
No, I was an Auburn guy.
You're an Auburn guy. I was South Alabama, ROTC guys. But I assume on the weekend of the Army-Navy game, you would care about, you know, whether Navy beat Army.
That's a pretty big deal.
That's a pretty big deal. Did you ever go to an Army-Navy game?
I never made it up there.
No, I haven't either. I've kind of always wanted to just because of the atmosphere that's generated. I love how the services also wear special uniforms that day to honor. Anyway, a lot of folks, though, you know the deal. How many times have you been on a military installation and they're flying their flags outside of their quarters? You know, and sometimes you'll see banners go Army beat Navy or just the other way around. All right, so there are people that plan, just like every other game, like the Iron Bowl, like everything. People that plan for, you know, a year or more in advance to make sure they're there. They set aside time. They even go through travel agents to get their tickets and their hotels. So go figure, Biden's border policies are crushing attendance at this year's Army-Navy game.
Pray tell, how are they doing
pray
that?
Pray tell. I was going to say pray tell. Pray tell, how are they doing that? Because Foxborough, Massachusetts, which is where it's going to be played, Senator Joni Ernst is blasting the Biden administration, according to a story here from Washington Examiner that says that literally we are seeing direct harm to military families, in her words, after veterans and their families who are traveling for the Army-Navy game are finding massive amounts of hotel reservations canceled due to a need to house illegal migrants.
So they're not just having trouble finding hotels, they're getting canceled.
Canceled, dude. Canceled. Like, here's one travel agent said that at least 70 of the reservations that he had made well in advance for the event in Foxborough, where the game's being held, were canceled under Massachusetts' right to shelter law.
Wow.
Which has allowed hundreds of families, it says, to be put up in hotels, most of whom are migrants. So yeah, you can plan your trip way in advance. You can be ready to celebrate the day of days for your football rivalry. And come to find out, you don't have a hotel room. You may be flying in, and you're the one sleeping in a tent. Go figure.
I mean, I get.
Obviously, how does that work?
Obviously, if you take it at face value, and you know, you're bringing in people that need shelter, but they're there in the first place. Should they have been there? You know, it is just a football game, but that's a huge. I mean, that's a lot of money that's going to come in that, you know, for that game. And that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
It is crazy. And you know what happens, though, is every once in a while you find these hotels that scarf it up because they're getting a guaranteed government income off of it. But at the same time, these are folks who came here illegally, who then wound up in a community, who are now taking from people who have earned the opportunity to be there. And I can't help but wonder, though, if there's 70 people in those hotels, 70 rooms being taken up in these hotels, are people being told ahead of time, oh, you're arriving at a hotel, by the way, which has signed a contract with the U.S. government to house illegal migrants. So just so you know, there are going to be families of migrants dominating the rest of your floor. I mean, how would they feel about that?
Yikes. There's so many aspects to unpack on this. Like, I'm curious how the hotels are going to, how are they going to weather the, you know, I know they see dollars, but, you know.
And I wonder, do
what
they
kind
see
of occupants
dollars?
What kind of occupants are they going to, or is this the government try to kind of force them to take them?
When they start doing things in the hotels that damage the hotels, which is not unheard of.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say they all come over here with zero,
absolutely,
you know, personal hygiene habits, or they're trying to cook in the rooms, but a lot of them do.
Yeah.
A lot of them absolutely do. They're trying to save money. They don't know where to go to get food. And so they are cooking in their rooms and doing whatever else. Next thing you know, the whole place is just, you know, in trouble. And anyway, how's that work? I don't know that it does work, to be honest with you. All right, next story I've got in the How's That Work segment. Wouldn't you believe, wouldn't you love to believe that if something bills itself as an inclusive opportunity, that means that everybody's welcome? Just asking. Would that be something you would expect to hear? The answer is yes. As you stare at me like I'm leading down a primrose path, it's not a trick question. It's real. So here's National Review has a piece that came out yesterday. A group called Love Light Placemaking.
I'm lost already.
Love Light Placemaking, the organizer of the Second Sunday's Art and Music Festival in Williamsburg, Virginia. Williamsburg, by the way, is a beautiful city. I had family that lived there. Has canceled a scheduled Hanukkah celebration, including the lighting of a menorah on December 10th. The decision follows concerns related to the Israel-Hamas conflict. Yeah, Shirley Vermillion. Is that really her name, Vermillion? Have you ever met anybody with the last name Vermillion?
I haven't, but I haven't met everybody.
It sounds like a drag queen name. Shirley Vermillion, the festival's founder, cited logistical challenges and sensitivity to the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict. Her quote, "The concern of folks feeling like we are siding with one group over the other, not a direction we ever decided to head." She emphasized the festival's inclusive nature and mentioned scheduling conflicts, as well as a reluctance to have the festival engage in religious activities. So I would say if you are enhancing your status by claiming an inclusive nature, that being exclusive is generally to be found contra to your statements.
So is this a Jewish festival?
No, it is not. It's a community thing.
That's telling Jews that they cannot light a menorah.
Yeah, we ain't lighting your menorah. We're concerned. It might not be seen as inclusive. How about this? If you're really that concerned about it, do another one later on for whoever is protesting and see who shows up. Says the United Jewish Community of Virginia Peninsula expressed shock and alarm at Love Light Placemaking's decision. The organization clarified that the menorah lighting led by a local rabbi was not political, had no connections to the Israel-Hamas war, and they argued that it's anti-Semitic to hold Jews collectively responsible for Israel's policies. I do not contest their statements. All right, let me ask you this. If and which one do I want here? Hang on a second. I'm going for this one.
Choose wisely.
That's one of my favorite lines from Last Crusade.
Yes.
Indiana
Very
Jones.
Good. Very good.
He chose poorly. All right. Teachers unions. Butters. Why do they exist? The clock is on. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Ding, dong.
Ensure the best education opportunities for our young people in our schools.
You would be wrong. They exist for the collective efforts of the union members, period. That's it. Don't ever forget that. But wouldn't you think, though, that in the process of their collective bargaining efforts, that they're after things like raises and vacation days and benefits?
I would think so.
Would it surprise you, then, to find that in Portland, see, I opened the door, it's Portland. Now I've opened. I should have told you Portland up front. You would have guessed all kinds of things. Would it surprise you then to find out that in Portland, as a part of the collective bargaining effort, that the Portland Public City Schools has now agreed with the union to allow for what it calls a support plan for students which need discipline? That means that they must, in a disciplinary consideration, take into account the student's race, gender, or identity, or sexual orientation, and restorative justice that may be applied for the student. Restorative justice. The new disciplinary policy also eliminates mandatory suspensions for students who threaten or harm others. All right, so here's the bottom line. Story off of freebeacon.com. In Portland, if you are a black gay kid who assaults another one, you are not going to be expelled, and you are going to have to have a place, what they call a support plan written up for you that takes into account all the reasons why your life might have been hard and the things that you chose to be a part of might have made you a certain way. And now, what are we going to do with you? We're going to try and love you back with restorative justice. How about this? Just treat everybody equally. Make sure they understand the consequences. And skin color and your predilections on your sexual orientation do not matter. And guess what? I guarantee you discipline comes back into place.
So does that mean that if you're a straight, white, say, middle-class male, that like you just get expelled at random just because?
That's what you get being a cis white male for asking those questions. Just saying.
That's...
Parents Defending Education Senior Advisor Michelle Exner slammed the Portland Public Schools and the Portland Association of Teachers for their absurd disciplinary policy changes. And yes, this was part of the collective bargaining effort. The union asked for these things. That's the union playing agendas as opposed to worrying about what's good for education. Last thing I'll say on this topic, because we got a heavy one we're going to try and get to in a minute. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed into law a series of measures designed to help the election processes in Michigan. Would you trust the outcome of this that I'm about to read you?
Mm-hmm.
It's Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gretchen Whitmer. The answer would be no. We have no reason to trust it. Whitmer signed a package of bills on Thursday that provided additional people the ability to sign up to vote, like ex-convicts and teenagers. I don't mean like teenagers 18 and older. I mean like 16 and 17-year-olds. The first bill would allow eligible individuals to vote in an upcoming election after they are released from prison. The package also criminalizes the intimidation of poll workers, regulates political advertisements that use artificial intelligence, and tightens the election certification process to ensure that former President Donald Trump or his supporters cannot disrupt it. I don't even know what that means. Washington Examiner, by the way, is not a liberal rag. They're usually fairly conservative. I cannot for the life of me mean to figure out what that means, tightening the election certification process to ensure Donald Trump cannot. I guess what they're saying is we're going to count the votes and we're going to count them in a way they can't claim later on we did something wrong, which is what you kind of want in the first place. And then, oh, by the way, how's that work when it says they're going to do things like, criminalizing the intimidation of poll workers, which is already the law.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. And then.
You lost me at we're going to make the already existing process a better process.
Well, when Gretchen Whitmer signs it, I'm usually distrustful right there on the spot.
Yeah, wow. All
right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back in a moment. We're going to the last part of the day. I got some text messages to catch up on. And dipper number three, get ready, folks. Flashpoints. Things that are happening around the world that you better pay attention to because they are the kind of things that could blow up in a heartbeat. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.